Pin.
I'd like to call this budget committee work session for the City of Junction City on Thursday, February 16th, 2023 at 6:30 PM. Open. First of all, thank you everybody that's joining us in the room, and if there's anybody online, welcome. We wanted to have this just to go over our current year budget. We're not looking or talking about the 23-24 budget tonight, but it's mainly about where we stand right now. And we've got, as you can see, we have different things on the agenda that we will be covered. Please don't hesitate if you have questions. Mike, Director Crocker, will be here, and he's presenting a lot of it, so he'll do a great job. But it's, you know, here we are, and it's April's going to be here before we know it, so we felt it was really important that we got an up-to-date on exactly where we were. So at this time, are there any changes to the agenda?
For me.
Okay. So item number three, then, would be approval of the minutes of both May 5th and May 12th of 2020. Hopefully everybody has had the opportunity to review the minutes. And with that, I would ask if there's any corrections, additions, or any changes to those minutes. 2022, yeah.
Make a motion to approve the minutes?
Yes, correct. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forget about everybody else gets to get them.
So motion has been made by Councilor Thomas, seconded by Councilor Washburn to approve the minutes of May 5th, 2022 and May 12th, 2022. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Say, Mayor, can we verify who's online so I know who to put
yes.
in with the attendance?
And could we please hear who is online?
There's just one person.
Is that the 321 phone number?
No.
234. That's not a counselor. It's not one of our. It's just a community member.
Okay. Counselor. Star six, if they're on the phone, we can hear you. Mm-hmm. If you could identify yourself, please.
Okay. I'm not sure if there's a requirement to.
Oh, no. I just was curious if it was one of them. Okay. Next item on the agenda is public comment for items not listed on the agenda. Any comments? All right, item number five. Director Crocker, year-to-date financial overview.
Okay, thank you. I did actually bring some help, quite a bit of help tonight, you notice, so. But I'll start it off here. So let's start with a few year-to-date, so financial and what's in your financial statements, just a couple of topics. Some of the things that stand out, actually I have kind of several good news items here, so I'll hit some of those. One thing that comes around this time of year is health insurance. So our renewal is on January 1st. And our insurance company, CIS, you know, I just got to think that they're doing a good job. Our new rates on January 1st, for medical, the rates went up 0.23%, and dental went down by 3.4%.
Yeah.
So that's really good news. You know, I'm kind of used to over my career, when health insurance comes around, it's always kind of a cringe and it's going to be another 10% or something. But also, last year on January 1st, 2022, the rates actually both went down by just a fraction of a percentage point, 0.44 and 0.2. So, you know, we got two great years in a row. Currently, I've got, you know, I'm thinking about 4% for the next budget, but the budget officer hasn't reviewed that yet, so we'll decide on something. But it's you kind of want to make sure you get things covered. But we've got two, you know, basically almost no increase years So health insurance is a big part of our budget. It's $1.1 million, or about 17% of the personnel budget. So it's a pretty big deal. Personnel overall, it's about $6.2 million this year. So typically goes up about 5% per year. Another area that we've mentioned a couple of times is minimum wage. You know, it's kind of funny, 5 years ago when the governor put in the minimum wage schedule and said, okay, everybody is going to raise it this much every year. And that was about 5 to 7% per year. And I remember we were talking about that and, oh, that's going to be hard on the budget and we have seasonals and the pool to run. So now we're beyond that 5 years. We're at about 6 or 7 years out now. And, you know, it's funny how things have changed. Because now we're looking at minimum wage really isn't our problem. It's competing with the restaurants and other people, or other businesses, for those minimum wage or people that are, you know, working in that range. And last year, you know, we had a great year for the pool, I thought, as far as recruiting, anyway, from that standpoint. We had a good year, had all the positions filled, and I was just really thrilled with that. And so, you know, looking forward, that'll be something that staff will have to look at, and of course, council will look at that compensation schedule in June. So that's coming up. Another area, which is current news, is interest rates. You know, I know I'm the finance person, so, you know, this kind of stuff kind of excites me, but I'll give you a couple of numbers. So, actually, you were just talking about interest rates. So from the city standpoint, you know, of course, we're looking at our investments with the local government investment pool. So I get these notices from the state treasurer with our new rates on them, and I just got one in January 27th. So our pool rate went to 3.75%. Now, a year ago, I pulled out that notice, January of 2022, that rate was 0.45.
Wow. Yeah. So fast.
So what that means to Junction City, so if we have, at the end of January, we had $22.7 million in the state pool. So at 3.75, that's an annual interest amount of, in our budget, of about $851,000. Wow. So that's a chunk of money. And just to put that in kind of another perspective, your budget for community services, library, community center, senior center, pool, and parks, all add up to $851,000. Wow. So now interest is always just a temporary help for the city budget. You can't count on it. Maybe back to 0.45, you know, next year. So, in fact, I've seen years where we've had good interest rates that, you know, as far as investments that help the city, and then you budget based on that, and then the year rolls around, you adopt that budget, the year rolls around, and the interest rates have gone back to wherever they were. So, but anyway. So anyway, so that's some other good news. Fund balances. I'll just hit a couple of pages in the financial statements that were in your packet. So these are the January financial statements. On page 3, I guess. So this is just a list of the fund balances, and since we're on a cash basis, that for the most part, that's about 99% cash. So down at the bottom where it says $23 million, that's what the city has in cash as of January 31st, basically. And of course, that's operating fund balances, that's your capital fund balances, or you're saving for capital projects, as well as some of your reserves, like your budget stabilization fund. So that's everything. But one thing that I like to go back and look at is, so that's $23,128,000 at January 31st. A year ago, that was $20,020,000. So about $3 million less. So, and the year before that, so that'd be January 31st of 2021, it was $18,005,000.
Wow.
So, you know, there's definitely a clear projection or, you know, moving forward there of how, what the city has on hand. And, you know, it reflects a growing city, not only because you've got houses and things being built, but, you know, the budget and the finances, the property taxes, it all rolls together, and, you know, you've got a growing budget. So, the other big thing that always, you always think about is PERS, but that's an agenda item, so I'll hold on that for a minute. The good news there, though, is that the news is not terrible, it's just mediocre, so we'll talk about that. And mediocre is much better than what it's been in the past, so, anyway, good news items, the way I look at it, you know, kind of pay for all the other increases. Because, you know, you're still going to have personnel increases and M&S and all the different things. So, on, you see, you don't have it in front of you, but I did kind of want to bring up the GFOA budget award again. It's on the wall over there. This will be coming up, the new budget will be the fifth one that we've applied for. And just to kind of remind the committee how that affects our process and that budget document that you get every year, you know, it keeps our budget at a certain quality level because that's reviewed by three independent other finance people. They're probably, I don't know who they are, it's anonymous to me, but they're finance directors or accounting people or somebody from another city in another state. And I get, they do good work because I get back 5 or 6, 10 pages of notes about our budget. And we should, you know, make this improvement, do this, or you missed that, or, you know, those kinds of things. We started at, 5 years ago, we started at kind of what I would call a minimum level. We did, just to get into the program, you know, we brought it up to a certain level and submitted it, and they accepted it. And then ever since then, you know, it's been a process to kind of keep improving it to what I would call kind of a standard plateau, like, okay, now we're, you know, kind of where we need to be moving forward. So we've got all the basic elements. This will be actually the last year, the way I see it, in this process. So we've got all the basic elements in there that they require. And you know, the comments have reflected that, okay, you still need to work on this, you know, we're going to pass you, but you still need to work on this and that. And so that's been the process for the last 5 years. So, you know, I look forward to moving ahead on that. Some other things in the financials. So typical things I look at. You could go to page 5, it's the finance department. I'll just use that for an example. So current year to date, we're 7 months into the year, which is 58.33% of the year. So when I review these, you know, I have that kind of in my mind, but yet, you know, as I've brought up many times, that a lot of these numbers don't quite, they're not necessarily, you know, the same every month. You do have a few prepaid things. Insurance is the biggest thing. On this schedule for finance, if you look towards the bottom, there are total materials and services, 66.52. So compared to the 58.33, the question is, what's the difference? So what I always do, and I'm kind of doing this in my head as I go through these, you know, I figure out what's the prepaid effect. So how much of this insurance, for example, is paying for February through June the rest of the year? So that adjustment for finance, I figure, is about 10%. So, which brings me down below the 58, 56.52. So, you know, I would pass on that as far as do I have a problem or not. So that's the way I look at these schedules. For budget law, you know, as a reminder, when you're looking at these, and of course I always have to monitor for budget law compliance, you know, I want to know if a department is staying within the budget that they need to get to the end of the year and be under their budget. So if somebody's way off, like in January, if they're at 80% for one of these totals, like either personnel or M&S, you know, I'm going to look at it much closer and make a determination about whether they need, you know, they're going to need a budget adjustment. So everybody's gotten emails from me at one time or another, you know, with that, those kind of questions. You know, do we need to plan to take a budget adjustment to council sometime? So I do have a short list already going, but so far they're pretty small items. But anyway, so budget law is we budget by fund and object. So what that means is where you've got an individual fund, the total for personnel has to stay within the appropriated amount, and the total for materials and services have to stay within that total amount. So the individual lines, budget law doesn't really care about that, as long as it doesn't get too wild and you're doing a reasonable job. But so it's those totals for each of these funds that constitute what you need to monitor for budget law. On the next page, or page 7, got court, and I bring up court because that's an area that we have focused on here this year, this budget year. So I thought I would mention, just kind of tell you my observations and where I think court is. So starting at the top line, beginning fund balance, you see that we had a goal last year of being at a negative $157,000. So that was, so that's where we thought we would be at the beginning of this fiscal year. So we passed that, or asked council to pass that, adopt that in the budget for this year, but it turned out we came in at 174. I think most of that is probably a lack of revenue, so that affected that ending fund balance, so that hurt us. So we started at about $17,000 down, basically, which affects, of course, the ending fund balance. You can see this year, a couple of lines down, or a line down, muni court fines. So we budgeted 125, we're only at 45,000, which is 36% of budget. So like I said, we should be at around 58.3. So, you know, it doesn't look like we're gonna make that. Probably end of the year, that's probably gonna turn into about 77,000 is what I calculate, annualize that number. So that'll leave us, I think I figured, so if we end up, so our goal at the end of the year was down at the bottom, the ending fund balance was a negative 97. So we're actually going to start $17,000 worse. So we probably won't make it to the 130, or the 97, I mean, but we might end up at, you know, negative 120, let's say, which is still an improvement. But the plan is a five-year plan that was presented by staff to council. So, you know, this is only the first year of that plan. So, anyway, so that's court.
Quick question on that, Mike.
Yeah?
So I do notice in this, under municipal court, that we don't have the grant coming through. Do we plan on that coming through in revenue?
Yeah, I was trying to remember what that was, why we budgeted that way. Trying to remember how we got to that. I believe that was the grant we received. Didn't we receive that in the last year?
Yeah, this was the making up of lost revenue due to COVID. That 14.6, I think, is what it was.
Yeah, and we received it early, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
In 2021, 2022. Yeah.
So maybe it should not have been included in our...
Well, at the time we budgeted, we thought that it would hit this year.
Oh.
But it just came in earlier than what we anticipated.
So we're actually going to see that on several of the pages, several of the departments.
So that makes them come out negative, basically, because we had budgeted that it was coming in, but it hit the year before.
Yeah.
Right? And then the other thought I just had was on interest. How are we negative in interest?
I would say that's a correction because this fund shouldn't get interest because it has a negative fund balance.
Oh, okay.
So they can't.
So they're losing
interest. Yeah.
Is what we're saying.
There was probably an accounting correction that brought that to. Well, you'd think it would be zero, not negative 16. I'll have to check on
that. Maybe they're paying interest.
May I ask a question, Mike?
Yeah.
Are we going to work this like we did with community services when they were in the hole in their budget and bring it back up? A little infusion from excess somewhere else?
Dick, that's part of the five-year plan is to gain back each year to get it back positive, kind of like what we did with the library. And I think what to kind of keep in mind is even with being a little off, we're still being projected to gain on that deficit about $40,000-$50,000 through this year. So it's a little less than what we wanted to, but we're still making gains to that. So.
And the reason I ask is we just got through going above what was budgeted by adding an increase to judge's salary. Mm-hmm. Not much, $500 a month. But it's going to add to the bottom line. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? I actually should have asked the questions before this.
I want to say welcome to Sue. I see you're on, so we're glad to have you, Sue.
Let's see, a couple other things. So kind of the rest, I don't want to get into some of the details, but I will kind of hit a couple of high-level points I noticed. So in the building department, the building department, so page 16. So the building department, goes up and down as far as revenue every, as the economy goes up and down. But I noticed that they're at 88% of revenue budgeted. So a lot of activity there. The building department has no property taxes, so it's just revenue, for that function of the city. So, in other words, so there's nothing that really skews that. 87% is 80%, 7% of, their operating budget, their revenue.
Do you account for that increase as far as that they're at 82%? Is it the houses
the
that are going in?
Yeah, it's all the housing.
Okay.
Yeah, everything that's in there is from permits.
Okay.
So, whatever we collect for permit fees, that's what goes in the budget.
Okay.
The other things that I've noticed, community services, are all looking good. If you leaf through those pages, the library, community center, budgets are steady. They're on track. I mean, there could be some small budget adjustments, but I see pretty good things. And utilities are very steady. If you look at, I noticed that. So remember, 7 months into the year, 58%. I noticed that the revenue that Gary budgeted, so water is at 58%, sewer is at 60%, and sanitation is at 60% of budget. So, that's like a bullseye, it's right on. So,
and then for the head of a dart throw.
That's a lot of time, I think, on the budget. and expenditures are all in the 50 to 60% range, you know, after you adjust out like interest. So, but, and gas tax coming in, I noticed in the street fund, 65% year to date. So it's ahead of, you know, the estimates. So I think unless that's kind of the current state of finances overview right now. So if nobody has any questions on that, that's what I have on that part.
It was nice to see these, the data, and also to see the big picture, how well we're doing. Yes, there's areas that could improve, but overall, it's where you, it's a, we're making good progress to the budget that was established last year.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to a great job by everybody. So you want to go to what, property taxes next?
Okay, property taxes and general revenue. I'm actually going to let Liz cover that.
Oh, good.
So.
Thank you. Some of you, the council definitely, I know. I'm Liz, so I'm the new city accountant. I work with Mike day in and day out. It's quite an experience. I'm going to touch base on property taxes and general revenue. The support for that is in this revenue addendum packet. It's got some graphs and such in it. So we'll start with property taxes. If you look at that schedule of assessed and market value that goes from 1998 forward, you can see that we've obviously consistently grown in assessed and market value. In regards to the assessed value, so the state of Oregon has a 3% cap on how much you can increase an existing property. It's called maximum assessed value. So that means that on your property, it can only, the assessed value can only increase 3%. So when you look at for 2022, 2023, you see that percent change of 4.39%. That is reflective of the 3%, but that 1.39% is new growth. So that's all new growth being added. So to put that in reference, all of Lane County only experienced 4.18% in that. So it is, the city is growing faster than the entire county. So it's very, very cool to see. Looking forward, I know we're not talking about budget yet, but we are anticipating, as you can see, a 1.5% in that additional growth on top of the 3%. So that's pretty exciting stuff. If you have your budgets from prior years, you'll see that last year we had a 5% increase, and we're scaling it back just a little to be on the safe side. So with the finance team, specifically Mike, is working with Chief Nickel, or Chief Brandon, I guess, with the fire department about some concerns regarding one of the new properties potentially not paying their property taxes correctly. And with that, it's kind of generated some questions about how the timing works with new properties, new construction getting added to the tax rolls. So we're going to be looking into that, putting some extra effort into figuring that out, which will help us forecast forward better into future years.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why would the city be involved in that? That's a Lane County thing.
Well, so if they're not paying their property taxes, nobody who receives the revenue from those property taxes is getting their money.
I understand that, but that is a county thing that they should be on top of.
It is.
You can give
yeah.
them a prod,
yeah.
yes, but we should be, well,
yeah.
you guys can do your business.
I think,
I wouldn't waste my time.
Yeah, I think for us, it's just making sure we've gotten all of our right documentation into the county, that we didn't miss a step somewhere. Mm-hmm. And more of just a general knowledge, like, hey, how does this work? You know, trying to get everybody on the same page.
Is it a new property to Junction City?
Newly developed property, yes.
Got it.
Yeah. So, on the second page, you'll see these the red and blue and the green graphs here. The top one is the property tax collection. Obviously, there's a nice upward trend there. You can see that just between 2021 and 22 to 22-23, we increased in dollars $238,000 in revenue just from 1 year to the next. So that's been nice. Similarly, on the bottom graph, the blue is the assessed value, which has got that 3% cap on it. Red is the market value. It's clear that the market value of homes in this city are increasing in value a lot faster than what we can assess them on. That's, you know, reflective of what we saw with interest rates and the supply and demand that we had in late 2021, early 22. So it'll be interesting to watch as the curve slows a little bit. Moving on to general revenue. Our general revenue is comprised of franchise fees and other taxes. I kind of put it into two categories, the utility franchises and state shared revenue. Utility franchise is essentially the money that we receive from these utilities for letting them do business in the area, let them have access to
roads and right-of-ways.
Right. Thank you, Gary. It is a large portion of our revenue, not to be, you know, it's vital. You'll see that on the third big giant graph that Pacific Power and EPUD, they are some of our largest contributors. We anticipate that to continue to grow as the city grows. Same with natural gas. Northwest Natural Gas is quite an interesting one. We budgeted in 2022-23 for $65,000, which was on trend with what we'd seen. We actually received $120,000. So Northwest Natural Gas received $1.1 million more in revenue than the prior year from Junction City residents, and adds that, 73% more is what was in franchise fees. So it was quite a surprise. Yeah.
I have a question about the transit rim tax. I didn't think that would be part of our general fund. I thought it was special to be used for special funding.
Yes, it's considered a general revenue source, but we set that aside because it is a restricted use.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a question on I'm back on that other page of assessed.
Yeah.
Versus market, just the previous page. I'm just thinking about Bob and Susie, who own a $200,000 home, and their assessed value of their home goes up 5%, 200, 205, that's 210, 220, it kind of goes, the value of their home goes up. But they have to stay in their home, and they live in their home, so their money they're putting out is going up, what they're actually paying on their assessed value goes up every year, even though they're just still in their house. Again, the property value goes up, but they have to live somewhere. And so they're paying more in property taxes every year, even though they're just still living at that $200,000 home. Is that correct?
Yes, but I think that's why there's that 3% cap. So it is the intention. That's a pretty old cap. It's from 1990, I believe. The intention there is to not have people who their homes stay at, you know, they have a $200,000 home, but the market is saying, oh, well, it's worth $500,000, and so we're gonna tax you on what it's worth, even though, you know, you have $200,000 in it. So that's why that 3% cap helps.
No, I got it. I've heard regularly about, oh, man, property taxes went up again. You know, I'm still in the same house.
Yeah.
But it continues, the amount I owe on taxes continues to go up. And somewhere down the road, I may or may not be able to actually sell this for $350 or whatever it is. I'm just want to make sure I'm clear on that.
We expect the franchise fees to continue to grow for the utilities as the city continues to grow, as we saw with the natural gas. The other general revenue items are state shared revenue, so cigarette tax, liquor tax. State liquor tax has brought in $122,000 this year, or is anticipated to bring in $122,000. It's brought in $81,000. And there is a proposed increase per capita, so we don't anticipate that falling down. Cigarette tax, on the other hand, is kind of leveling out. The League of Oregon Cities is also anticipating that to start to decline, which, hey, great for our community, but not so great for revenue, although it is a relatively small portion. As Mr. Sumner mentioned, transient room taxes on here, it is kind of settling as what we're seeing in the trend. We budgeted $25,000, but we're only sitting at 7 months in, so we would hope to see a little bit more, but COVID, you know. So that's all I really had for you. Thank you so much. If you have any questions, I don't have very many answers, but I'm willing to hear them regardless.
One for Jason about it. No, Eugene is getting where they can't use natural gas. Are we going to do something stupid like that here?
I have heard no. But he mentioned that idea. It's not anything that staff is preparing.
Let's drop it. Nobody said it.
But we might also see some increase in more building out here because the builders are not going to build. I mean, we don't know, but I would say if the builders are going to look at where they want to go and because of the restrictions and what the public really wants. And they're going to, builders are going to build what the public wants. And
I have to sell one of our lots out by the sewer development.
Lakefront property.
Huh?
Lakefront. Brings a premium.
Yeah. Dr. Crocker, we ready to move on to PERS?
Okay. So you pull out the packet for PERS. It starts with this chart.
Mm-hmm.
It's in there. So you've actually seen these charts before. I just updated them. PERS, of course, as I mentioned earlier, you pretty much always have to talk about PERS. It always rises to that level of kind of important items. So chart one is, so this is just a chart that just shows the change in this particular rate. This is the tier one, tier two rate. And of course, those are the employees that were hired prior to, I think it's 2003. So the older ones, we actually only have 11 employees remaining in as that work for the city as tier one, tier two employees. So that number, as those people retire, you know, that number is going down every year. And so this rate only affects those 11. So the majority of the employees are actually in the officer pool, which is the third chart. But so really those are the rates which are lower. So that is helpful. But anyway, the interesting thing here, so if you look at the, so I'm still on page one. If you look at the two bars to the right, so you see the green one is the new biennium, which is starting July 1st. So that's the state's new biennium. So these rates are set by the two-year bienniums. And that rate's going to be, for this group, 25.61%. And you notice the bar to the left of that, 24.33. So that's the current rate that we're paying right now in this biennium. So that'll change. That's not a huge change when, if some of you that have maybe been around long enough recall 5, 6, 7 years ago when PERS was kind of, there was just this, all this discussion about PERS and its future and its unfunded liability, and they passed, I think that was Senate Bill 1049, they made some changes to reduce the costs, and everybody was really excited about that. And part of that was because, or mostly, that was because the projected rate increases at that time, going out 10 or 20 years, were pretty large. In fact, if you look at the three blue bars before the one for 21-23 that I just referenced, you see those big steps. So 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, that's what they were projecting out 20 years. And so our rates, I remember that on these charts, the rates out to this time that we're in now were closer to 30%. So the fact that, you know, this one's at 25 and one of the other ones is at 21 or something, you know, that's kind of the good side of it. That's the mediocre, what I said a little while ago, that the news isn't terrible, it's mediocre. Well, that's really what I'm kind of referring to. If you go to the next page, or actually, let's talk about, so police, our police officers are in a op-cert rate category of their own, but the only thing I'll point out on this page, so they went up the most, I believe, went up to 26.26%, up from 24.41, so that's, you know, that's a little bit, but still, compared to what we were expecting 5 years ago, that's not so bad, a couple of percentage points. If you go to the next page, page three, so this is where most of the staff is, probably, I think we have 8 or something in the police group, and like I said, 11, so, you know, the other 30 or whatever it is that are remaining are all in this group. So the nice thing about this, you see our current rate coming up is 21.47%, so that's, you know, 5% or so below the Tier 1, Tier 2 group. And the increase from the prior biennium that we're in now, so 20.05%, you know, so that's, you know, 1.5%. That's not horrible, considering where we are now and where we could have ended up. So, and the last chart, so this is a chart that actually came out of the PERS report that we received. They send us a report from the actuaries. It's about like 20 pages of very just numbers that will just kind of make your head spin. But this is a chart out of that, and this is just showing the pink bars really don't apply to us, because those are for if we had a side account. But the blue bar is supposed to represent their estimate of what our total contribution is going to be. And now this goes out a lot of years. I think this is 20 years because they're bienniums. Yeah, so this is 20 years. So that's a long way out, but just looking in the short run, you know, 21-23, so the year we're in, somewhere around 1.2 million. So that's what they're estimating we're putting in for this biennium into the PERS program. And then, but next year, so if it's closer to 1.4 million, so, you know, it's less than 200,000, but that's like $150,000, $180,000 increase. So, you know, and that's over 2 years. So if you're thinking in terms of, say, 180, you got to divide that in half. That'd be 90,000 per fiscal year. So that makes it, okay, it's a little easier to swallow. But, and then the one following that is a smaller number than that, 100, I think. So, you know, this is just kind of further illustrating that it's mediocre news, not the worst news. But So are the positive things, you know, this is the kind of thing that it needs to pay for. And, you know, those rates, the other kind of, I don't know if you call it good news or just interesting, but I noticed that in that report that I got, you may have recalled, some of you might have recalled me talking about the unfunded liability with PERS. So every city has an amount. So the unfunded liability that we have with PERS is the amount of total benefits that PERS estimates that they will pay out for for existing and former Junction City employees, and then less however much we've already got in there that's sitting there earning interest. And so that difference is our unfunded liability. About 2018, that amount was about $5.3 million, which compared to other cities and other systems, that's not a lot. Some states have much larger unfunded liabilities across their systems. But anyway, what I wanted to point out was that, so that dropped to $4.9 million the next year. Then when things were not so good with the economy, it jumped to $6.2 million. And at the end of this report that they just reported on, 12/31/21, that amount was $4 million. So it went down again. I tend to expect that to go up and down over the years as the economy comes and goes. But anyway, the point I think would be that it's, you know, the current economy with the interest that we're getting, and because if we're getting interest, they're getting interest, so that helps. So 2021 helped our raise. That was a good year. Anyway. If anybody has any questions, that's all I have on PERS.
I have a quick question. I just want to make sure I wrote it down correctly. So unfunded liabilities is total benefits for former and existing employees, less what we have on hand.
Less what we have on hand, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
and that has
have
gone
on deposit with them.
Okay.
Yeah, but they consider us to have already paid. So those rates that we pay on,
right,
the payroll rate.
And we're at about $4 million now.
And what they expect to earn on those rates, too, for those amounts. Yeah, so right now we're at about $4 million. So, yeah.
Is there a mechanism that we could prepay some of that unfunded?
PERS has tried to come up with programs to try and do that. There is one, I believe it's still available. It's called the Side Account program. Basically, a city could put down, you know, you could put down $500,000 with them, and then that would earn interest. So then that would add to the amount that you have on deposit with them, and then the actuaries would work backwards and figure out, okay, how much can we reduce your rates because you have that extra amount.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did talk about that a year or two ago. Must be 2 years. I think the feeling here was that it really wasn't something we wanted to get involved in. It's not putting in money with PERS. There's some downfalls to it. It's actually not a new program. I think it started around 2000. And so there's been some history there where other cities, like in the Portland area, went out and borrowed money and put money into that program, and sometimes they come out okay, sometimes they don't. So I think that's part of the, since there's some uncertainty there, you know, I think the at the time that we discussed it at a staff level and discussed it with council, that it probably isn't a good place for us to be. So it has been considered. That's the main option for that kind of a thing.
Any other questions for Director Crocker?
I have a kind of a funny one.
Okay.
Do people that are not on salary, do they have a part of PERS? Do you have a set aside for people that are stop paying?
Well, PERS has a, we have to pay PERS on anybody that meets the basic requirements. And any full-time employee is gonna meet those requirements.
So the pool people don't?
Not seasonal or temporary. They don't generally meet those requirements.
Excellent.
All right.
Okay.
Next meeting date.
You know, I didn't even write that date down. Oh, no, here it is. April 13th. So April 13th, Thursday, 6:30 PM. That's the date set by the calendar that council reviewed. So same place, same time. And then, of course, it's up to budget committee if you want to continue those weekly Thursday meetings or if you want to change something else.
Could you check our minutes from last year to see who the vice chair is of the committee? Because the reason I'm saying that, I will not be here on April 13th.
Okay. Figure that out, perhaps.
I don't remember, because that was a long time ago. But I'm sure it's in the minutes. Is everybody in agreement with April 13th? Because that gives the committees a chance to review each of the departmental budgets. And so then it's when it comes to, then the committee then can start doing our evaluation like we've done in the past. Everybody agree up here too?
Yeah, good for me.
Okay, is that okay with you, Sue? Okay. Okay, Mike, it looks like consensus that April 13th. Or do we have any committee member comments this evening? Start with Sue. No? Okay.
Go ahead and help them.
I was looking at this ending fund balance, and I'm seeing a lot of capital project fund. And it looked like quite a few of these had big hefty balances in them, and maybe I missed it last year, but for the future, I would kind of like to see what are they planning on spending, because I have quite a few of these capital project funds. Like that one was the sewer water and that big 5-year plan, and for next year, just like a one line, what these capital project funds are for. I just missed that last time, and I've been kind of thinking ahead because we do kind of have a lot of capital, big pots of money for future projects coming up, and I'd like to kind of see what that money is allocated for.
I can answer that.
It's not a simple answer, so I'd rather at the next meeting just.
Oh, okay.
Because it's more than just the CEP, Mike. I knew where you were going. But yeah, absolutely, that's not a problem.
I'm definitely gonna hear about it, but
yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Derek. Any other comments, questions, concerns from the committee?
Like to say that it's getting closer to, I can't remember how many millions for our sewer and water coming up.
It's on us. We are starting to spend that money today.
You got a place to get your asphalt yet?
No. I think that natural gas thing is really messing that up.
I know.
So the company that we hired to do that asphalt, last time I talked to him, he said if they don't fire pretty soon, he's going to go north to get asphalt. So when you go north to get asphalt and bring it back here, it's really tough to keep it warm that long in temperatures like this. So it's, you know, if we get them to fire enough for somebody else to tack our batch onto, because they won't fire for our batch, it's too small.
Get Mr. Tracer to bring some of his extra rock and drop in there and be a little.
Yeah, I went through the, the other day, we need to dress it up again, so. We're trying to slow the traffic down a little bit, Jeff.
Oh, the potholes.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a, did you decide to do that with the police?
Yeah.
Help out?
Yeah.
Fair.
Counselor Washburn.
Yeah, at this time, they are trying to get signatures in the city of Eugene to bring that to the voters.
I saw that, yes.
On the natural gas.
We live north of the funny city.
But we'll see how that goes.
All right, is there any other business to be brought to the committee's attention this evening?
I'd just like to thank Mike, Jason, and the rest of the staff that worked on this. The presentation was great, and we know where we're at, and that's important. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I concur with you, with the council person, Karen Leitz. But if this thing that you're talking about, putting citizens on your committees, then you would be able to see more as to what they're going into the budget. Because in committees, they discuss the 1972 Lamborghini they're going to buy for the.
Yes.
That that discussion will be on our in our next work session. Or actually our next council meeting and work session that we talked about the committees and if we will make some changes. And I think it's hopefully it will be approved and we will have citizens on all our committees as long as we get volunteers.
There you go.
And but you know I think we'll have that interest because we as a council want that input and this staff also, and it takes all of us working together to be successful. So Mr. Summer, thanks for mentioning that.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
All right. I will adjourn this meeting at 7:28 p.m. on the February 16th. And thank you, everybody.